Translation and Purple by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In that sacrifice, King Indra became intoxicated by drinking a large quantity of soma rasa. The Brahmanas received ample contributions, and therefore they were satisfied. For that sacrifice, the various demigods who controlled the winds offered the foodstuff, and the Vishvadevas were members of the assembly. Purport. Because of the yajna performed by Maruta, everyone was pleased, especially the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. Brahmanas are interested in receiving contributions as priests, and the Kshatriyas are interested in drinking. All of them, therefore, were satisfied with their different engagements. So I'm going to go back to 25 and 26, read those two. I'll just read the English translation. Text 25 translation. The son of Vimsati was Rumba, whose son was the great and religious king Kaninetra. O king, the son of Kaninetra was King Karandam. Text 26 translation. From Karandam came a son named Avikshit, and from Avikshit a son named Maruta, who was the emperor. The great mystic Samavata, the son of Angira, engaged Maruta in performing a sacrifice, yajna. Text 27. The sacrificial paraphernalia of King Maruta was extremely beautiful, for everything was made of gold. Indeed, no other sacrifice could compare to his. So I'm just going to read 28 again, the one on the board. In that sacrifice, King Indra became intoxicated by drinking a large quantity of soma rasa. The Brahmanas received ample contributions, and therefore they were satisfied. For that sacrifice, the various demigods who controlled the winds offered foodstuffs, and the Vishvadevas were the members of the assembly. I'm just going to read the purport again, because it's a very short purport, but there's a lot of interesting points in it. Because of the yajna performed by Maruta, everyone was pleased, especially the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. Brahmanas are interested in receiving contributions as priests, and the Kshatriyas are interested in drinking. All of them, therefore, were satisfied with their different engagements. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshush Unmiritam Jena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Jaitanya Mano Abhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nivaje Sunivadi Pastata Deshitarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakaupa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyavcha Patitana Pavanbhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Before I begin, I'd just like to ask for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially the senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, that I might say something to inspire you all and to inspire myself. So, this chapter entitled Dynasties of the Sons of Manu. We're coming to the end of the chapter, and this is few verses here, particularly about Maharaj Maruta. Once in a room conversation, Srila Prabhupada said, there's a mountain somewhere in the Himalayas, and this mountain, the peak is solid gold, but no one knows where it is because it's covered with snow and ice. So it was Dhananjaya Prabhu actually told me this story. It's also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Prabhupada writes about this mountain. So Dhananjaya Prabhu said, he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, if you tell me where this mountain is, then I can get a couple of good men and we can go up there and get the gold and use the gold in the service of Krishna in ISKCON. When Dhananjaya told me, I could just envision in my mind Dhananjaya with a couple of bhaktas, you know, climbing a snow-capped mountain in the Himalayas. Devotees were really surrendered in those days. You know, Prabhupada said yes, they probably would have done it. But Prabhupada said no. If I tell you, there's going to be a war. So Dhananjaya Prabhu concluded the mountain's probably somewhere on the borders of China and England. China and India. Maruta Maharaj, he was a great king. I mean, these pastimes have taken place different millennium we're talking. No, is it the same millennium? Anyway, a long time ago. And he did a great yagya called a Shankar Yagya. And by doing this yagya, he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Krishna gave him this particular mountain as a gift. So now he had unlimited amount of gold in order to do this yagya. Because to do these yagyas, it's not an easy task. You have to have unlimited amount of wealth, actually. Gold. You have to have expert brahmanas to be able to chant the mantras correctly. And even if you chant one syllable wrong, the whole yagya is considered impure, and they have to start again. They have to throw all the paraphernalia away and have to start again. So you can imagine the amount of responsibility on the heads of the priests. So Maharaj Maruta, who did these yagyas, and he was giving so much charity to the brahmanas. It said he gave so much gold away because he had this mountain at his disposal that the brahmanas, they couldn't even carry the gold. But because they were satisfied, they weren't in hankering after unnecessary wealth, because that's the quality of a Brahmin, to be self-satisfied. They left most of the wealth behind, and most of it ended up in the bins, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam. So you can imagine if we, just like recently, we had an open evening here at the manor, and they advertised on the internet and everywhere, come to the manor. So imagine if we advertised on the internet and everywhere, there's gold in the bins at the manor. But the devotees, but the resident devotees are so satisfied, they're not interested in taking the gold. They're not interested in the gold. So we're inviting everyone to come and take as much gold as they want. Do you think the next morning will be a busy morning? There won't be enough room in the car parks, because everyone will be wanting that gold, right? So that was the situation. We're talking about bygone ages, when people respected Brahminical culture, when the kings maintained the Brahmins. And the kings, they lived by taxing. They would tax the citizens, and that's how they maintained themselves. The Vaishyas would live off of the land, and anything extra they had, they would go to the market and sell. And they made some money out of that. And the Brahmanas, they were never taxed by the king. The king completely maintained them. So they were completely detached as far as any material responsibility goes. The only ones that worked were the Sudras. And they said that the Sudras are the only one that accept a wage. The other higher caste, they don't accept a wage. Reason being, because if a Brahmana accepts a wage, then he becomes indebted to that person that he's working under. If we compare the Vedic principle of Anashram to the modern day understanding, where the heads of state are just interested in squeezing as much money out of the citizens as possible, even if it means going to war and killing millions and millions of people, they'll do that in the name of, what they say is in the name of freedom, but that freedom is only for them in the form of money. And in Kali Yuga, there is no sufficient gold. In Kali Yuga, it is oil or paper, money. So there's no real riches in Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, the heads of the state, instead of protecting the citizens, they're just actually killing the citizens due to their greed and their lust. just before the invasion of India by the British, there was one British politician, and his job was to go and travel around India. and just report back to Parliament what he saw. Of course, before the British were in India, the Mughals were there, but the Mughals had left. And he went back to Parliament, and what he saw amazed him. He said, "I've travelled throughout the whole of India, and I haven't seen one single beggar." That's not the India that we recognise at the moment. Right? He said, "I haven't seen one single beggar in the whole of India." And he said the people were so satisfied that there was hardly any stealing or crime. That might have been due to the Mughals as well. You don't want to steal with Sharia law. But, and he said, and people were wealthy. He said people were eating off goats, they had gold utensils, spoons, and they just left them lying around in the streets. So their whole aim or their whole motivation was, how are we going to take over this country? And of course the British were very clever. They would go into a third world country and they would offer them something better. "We've got something better than what you've got now. You know, you're living a simple village life, living, you know, walking around with no shoes, just very simple. We've got, you know, we can give you technology, we can give you weapons, we can give you so much." And at that time it was in the industrial estate. Sorry, we're having a bit of a history lesson here, but it's all to do with the verse. But they couldn't do that with India because the people were satisfied, you see. When people are satisfied, why do they want something different? So then they came up with this clever plan. "The only way we can take over India is if we destroy the community." Community means Varnashram. Although the smarter Brahmanas, they also did quite a good job of that themselves, but not fully. So then the British went in there, they destroyed the community spirit. Let's industrialize India, let's open factories, let's take people out of the villages, let's put them in the factories, turn everyone into a Sudra. Yeah? And when everyone's a Sudra, they're very easy to control. The Kshatriyas, they're okay, we can just pay them off. You behave, we'll give them some land, this is yours, you can be happy here, pretending to rule. But we're actually in charge. So, the Kshatriyas, Rishis, and everyone else turned them into Sudras. So that was their plan. So that's kind of the modern day, well, you could say Varnashram. It isn't really Varnashram, but people are still working according to their nature. But most people are white-collar workers in offices. So in this verse, it says, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, that the Brahmanas are interested in receiving contributions as priests. So that's the, we're talking about Varna here. Varna means, what does someone do for a living? How does a person maintain themselves? Yeah. And his Prabhupada says, all of them were therefore satisfied with their different engagements. So if you're in the correct ashram and varna, then you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be happy. And the result of that happiness is that it's going to be a lot easier to engage in spiritual life. Yeah. So we're particularly talking about brahmanas here, priests. So they take contributions. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a controversial subject. Because we're living in Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga means that Kali Dosha Nidera, John, my dear king, Kali Yuga is full of faults. And there are so many faults in Kali Yuga. And one of those faults is that people, they do not have the samskaras. They're not brought up from the beginning, from a young age, how to behave and how to be cultured. Therefore, to establish Varnashram in Kali Yuga is almost impossible. It is very difficult. In Kali Yuga, everyone is born Sudra and lower. Therefore, how do you establish something like Varnashram? Yeah, the Brahmanas are meant to accept contribution. They do the Yajna. Yeah, you do the Yajna, and then the person gives you a contribution. That was them maintaining the Brahmins. The Brahmins never advertised themselves. These days you can advertise on the internet. I'm a supersonic Brahmin. I know so many mantras, blah, blah, blah. I can chant mantras faster than you can, you know, eat this apple, you know. And then you're on the internet, they always have the, so you think, well, great, that's nice, or, you know, and then it comes to the point where it says, have your debit and credit card ready. Then the fees, you know. But see, I was thinking about this. In one sense, there's nothing wrong with that, even though the ideal is that Brahman doesn't charge, or he's not on a wage. But because we live in Kali Yuga, what can you do? Because people in Kali Yuga, they do not appreciate the qualities of a Brahmin. They do not appreciate the service a Brahmin is giving. Therefore, they will not give enough if you just surrender your life, if you just depend on the Brahmin. It's just like when you're on book distribution. Yeah, book distribution is a Brahminical activity. And Prabhupada said it's honorable if a grahastha goes out and maintains himself on book distribution. But it is very difficult. Very difficult. It's not an easy task to do, to maintain yourself, because of the whole notion about being attached to the fruits. You're not meant to be attached to the fruits. You're meant to leave it up to Krishna. But if you're having to maintain yourself on it, how can you not be attached? You have to be more advanced. Yeah? Just like sometimes you go out and you give someone, offer someone a book, and they say, yeah, okay, and you ask for a donation. Yeah? Because that's what we do. We ask for donation. There's no fixed price. Yeah. And they say, yeah, okay. This happens sometimes. I'll give you, have you got change for a 20? And you think, wow, okay, great. He's going to give me a nice donation. And then he pulls out 20 pence. And he says, well, okay, well, how much are you going to give? They say, have you got change? Have you got, can you give me 10p? It's actually happened to me. Can you believe it? It happens, right? And then you kind of look at them like that, and they say, well, you asked for a donation. And then I kind of say, well, can you say Gauranga? And they say Gauranga, and I say, okay, well, that's what you're going to get for 10p. See you later. Clear off. So, but a point I'm making is, you know, you got a Gauranga for 10p. But we also give books out for free, of course, and to those people that are sincere and not going to take advantage of your kindness. But some people take advantage, therefore you have to react. But the point I'm making is, if the Brahmins depended fully on the generosity of people in Kali Yuga, they wouldn't be able to survive, would they? They'd be dead. And so Srila Prabhupada said, Kali Yuga is an emergency. And a Brahmin, in time of emergency, he can take up a Vaishya activity. Because it's Kali Yuga. So this is an emergency we live in, you know. We haven't got King Maruta maintaining all the Brahmins. In time of an emergency, may mean the Brahmins may have to be on a wage. They may have to, do some business. But it doesn't mean that when you do the business, your Brahminical activity becomes the business. No, you got to choose something within the Vaishya category in order to do the business. And as long as you're doing that Vaishya activity, at that moment, you're actually a Vaishya, not a Brahmin. But I'm going to come to this later, because in Krishna consciousness, you've got Devi Vaishyam and you've got Varnashram. We're talking about something, Varnashram on the material level. Yeah. So that's an emergency situation. Yeah. And Prabhupada says also, which is kind of a contradictory, but Prabhupada says he says that the success of any yajna depends fully on the priest. He doesn't say 50% on the priest, or 70% on the priest, or 20%. It depends fully on the priest. So that means the person who's doing the yajna, he's completely responsible. So does he have enough Brahma Tejas? Does he have enough brahminical qualities? Is he qualified? And a priest means that you've got the yajna, which is the fire, which is the mouth of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you've got the people who are you're representing. And there, and what happens is their desires and everything goes through the priest to the fire. So you're acting as a transparent via medium, just like a guru. Same thing. So there's a lot of karma involved. So the people are, you know, they're giving their oblations, whatever, in the fire, and it's going through the priest. And the priest is offering it in the fire. And then at the end, generally the people give some donation to the priest. And within that donation is also karma. Because the reason why you give to a Brahmin is to purify yourself. Not that a Brahmin is in need. Not that you're thinking, oh, the Brahmin, he needs my money. That's the wrong mentality. You're giving because by giving to a Brahmin, you're purifying your existence. But then the Brahmin has to take some karma. Yeah? So he's taking karma from the yajna, he's taking karma from the donation. So Prabhupada explains further. He says that in Kali Yuga, all sacrifices are forbidden except for the sacrifice of the Yuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan. Yeah, because he said one of the reasons, because there are no qualified Brahmins in this age who have the Brahminical qualities, you can absorb that karma, who can benefit the people. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sri Taranaksha Hanuman Shri Shri Goni Thai Ki Jai. So there are no qualities. So, but at the same time, Prabhupada also said, so this is a bit of a contradiction, Prabhupada also said that I want the members of ISKCON to be Brahminical. I want them to learn how to do yajnas, chant mantras, be learned in the Brahminical. Because, you know, people have to be married, people, yajnas have to be done. From a young age, the baby has to have these samskaras. You have to have someone qualified to do it. Although with the weddings, he did say the weddings are okay, but they should bring their own priests, except for the devotee weddings. So it's, there's at the same time, Prabhupada say no. All yajnas are forbidden. This is in the Shumbhagata 1-8. Now, it's forbidden, but at the same time, Prabhupada also wanted us to become Brahminical, to do yajnas, to do mantras and everything. So it's a bit of a contradiction. So I was thinking about this. Okay, how do we understand this? See, Lord Chaitanya, and I came up with, you know, this is my realization on it. How is it? Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Raya, he said, can you explain what the goal of life is? And Ramananda Roy, this is a section in the CC everyone knows, Ramananda Roy, he was explaining what the goal of life is. And every time he would explain something, Lord Chaitanya would dismiss it. He would say, no, you need to go a bit deeper. And Ramananda Roy kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And the first thing that Ramananda Roy said, he said the goal of life is that one should, through his through Varna and Ashram, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to his occupation. He said, this is the perfection of life, therefore everyone should be within the institution of Varna and Ashram. But Lord Chaitanya, he dismissed it. He said, Varna Ashram, he said, in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to establish Varna Ashram. So it's very difficult to work through Varnashram in Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is material. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purple why Lord Chaitanya said this is a material thing. Because Varnashram, the purpose of Varnashram is to obtain the goal of life. Right? But Srila Prabhupada explains why Lord Chaitanya said it's a material thing. Because in Kali Yuga, people with material consciousness, they bring down the Sankirtan movement on the material level. And they either bring it down on the same level as Varnashram, which is a material institution, or they bring Varnashram higher than the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Nishiranaritam Dastaka said, Goloka, Golokera Premadana, Harinam Sankirtan. That the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is completely spiritual, transcendental, and it comes from Goloka Vrindavan. So does Lord Chaitanya. But foolish people think that a Sankirtan movement is material. So this is why Lord Chaitanya dismissed it. He said, no, Varnashram is a material thing. But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't dismiss Varnashram altogether. The warning is that if we engage in our occupational duties with a material consciousness, forgetting the goal of life is Krishna, then we're going to be creating the reaction for ourselves, or the karma. Right? Because the whole purpose of Varnashram is to obtain Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that the Varnashram without Krishna consciousness is just an obstacle. It's a hindrance, actually. So I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Some interesting quotes here. So it says, Dharma svarnus tataha pum shum vikshvakshena kata yaha no pada yadiratim shrama hi eva kevalam. And the translation is, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. And then the next verse, Dharmasya hi apavagasya nato riti rita pakalpate natasya dharma kantasya kama labaya hi smritaha. Translation, all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. I'm going to read the purport. It's not very long. Purport. We have already discussed that pure devotional service to the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered. And most people are attracted by such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfies sense gratification. This cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity followed by material gain and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Sense gratification is a general way for all sorts of fully occupied men. But in the statement of Sutta Goswami, as per the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present sloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows. So here he's describing that one shouldn't be in the mentality that my occupation is for my sense gratification. Yeah. So if you are Brahmin, so you're doing the service, yeah, and you're getting the donations. It's to do with the consciousness. Yeah. The consciousness shouldn't be I am getting, it should be I am giving, because that's what a Brahmin is meant to do, give. And here it says that if you're in the mood of taking, and this is for my sense gratification, then that is condemned. That is not going to be for our benefit. And that will not also be for the benefit of the people you're performing the yajna for. So then the next verse explains what our mentality should be as far as maintaining ourselves. A life desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So in this verse it's saying that we should only desire what is for our sustenance, you know, what we need to survive, to eat. We shouldn't want too much sense gratification, because that desire to want too much sense gratification will be a hindrance in our spiritual life, in our occupational duty that we're performing, and also to the people that we're meant to be giving to. So that kind of answered my question about Prabhupada saying yagyas are forbidden in this age, but at the same time he wants devotees to do yagyas. He wants us to be brahmanical. So it's all to do with the consciousness of the person. Right? It's what consciousness you're doing it in. So am I doing this yagya so I'm going to get some money? Or am I doing it because I want to benefit these people? Yeah. So in Kali Yuga, if anyone calls himself a Brahmin, a true Brahmin, and you're doing the yagyas and you're doing everything else, in order for it to have potency and for you to not be implicated in the karma, you also have to be performing the Yuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan. Of course, when I say Sankirtan, I'm not just talking about book distribution or Harinam, I'm talking about anything within the Krishna conscious movement is part and parcel of the Sankirtan Yagya. Deity worship, cooking, whatever, managing, it's all part of the Sankirtan Yagya. So we have to be, so anyone who's doing that Yagya, they have to be in a consciousness of, I'm giving something within, I'm part of the Sankirtan movement. What am I giving to these people? Because it's Kali Yuga. Yeah. Because that was the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya ultimately said, I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. I'm just a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. So, but at the same time, Varnashram isn't, Lord Chaitanya doesn't say we shouldn't worry about Varnashram, we should engage in our occupational duty, we should do our duty properly, figure out what Varna we are in and earn our livelihood in that way, but doing it in a mood of Lord Chaitanya's message, which is that, you know, compassion towards all living entities. And then and only then will we be satisfied. Atapumbi Dvizastrishtavanashvam Bhagasa Svanutasya Dharmasa Samsidi Haritoshanam. O best of the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection that one can achieve by carrying out his prescribed duties according to his own occupation in the different divisions of life is to please the Supreme Lord Hari. That should be our motivation. Is Krishna going to be pleased with me? And as far as Brahman qualities and Brahmanical power, there is little or none in this age of Kali outside the protection of the Sankirtan Yagya. So the Sankirtan Yagya is the primary Yagya of this age. But we may do so many other Yagyas. But those Yagyas have to also be followed by the Sankirtan Yagya, and then it's complete. You know, like now, I think they do weddings, they give books out. So you're doing a yagya, the person's giving you some money, you give them a set of Prabhupada's books. Maybe a set of books is better than a few small books, because they give you more. And then that way also, you're not getting any karma. Same with book distribution. If you're taking money off of people, but you're not giving them something in return, you're getting their karma. So the mentality should be of giving. What am I giving to this person? Because I don't have the potency, I don't have the brahmanical qualities. I don't have the brahman tejas to absorb all that karma. So I have to give something. Give them a set of Prabhupada's books. There you go. That's the highest thing you could do, to give them a gift like that. So it's all to do with consciousness. Doing it in the right mood. Not thinking that the Sankirtan movement is material. It is a completely spiritual, transcendental activity coming directly from the spiritual world. Okay, I'm going to finish there. Any questions?